Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. We're thankful for everybody here, and we've exceeded over 600,000 listeners. We've just exceeded another 50,000 listeners overseas. So the show's expanding, and we want to thank you for that. Many of the people emailed in today about a couple of our guests. We're thankful for that. So if you have an idea you'd like to hear about something, go to viewer@savingwithsteve.us. That's viewer@savingwithsteve.us. And let us know what you'd like to hear about, what subjects you'd like to talk about. Today, I'm going to be talking about how to protect your money from inflation. And next up, we're talking to the workplace doctor. See, 41% of the global workforce is likely to consider leaving their current employer within the next year. Because of the pandemic, how and why Americans work has completely changed as employees are now in search of a more flexible and happiness from their job. Commonly used organizational frameworks no longer capture these complex dynamics in this new age organizations. Companies need to develop new approaches to maximize the potential as well of their other employees to risk losing them all. Now, whether you're a middle manager, an executive, a senior manager, you have a small business, you work with people at church, you want to stick around for this. We have Natasha Bowman. She's known as a workplace doctor, 20 years of consulting experience through her firm Performance Renew. She's worked to remodel America from the inside out. I want to thank her for joining us today. Let me introduce you to Natasha Bowman. Welcome to the show. I want to thank you for being here. Again, we have the workplace doctor, Natasha Bowman. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you've had 20 years of experience through your firm called Performance Renew, and you focus on companies where you're reworking the workplace inside out. Yeah. I always like to know, how did you get started in that business? Because that's a tough one to rework a culture from the inside out.
Yeah, it is. I really was prompted to do that. I'm actually a labor and employment law attorney. And I decided very early in my career, you know what? I don't want to be on the dark side of misconduct in the workplace. After, you know, someone, I would read these cases, you know, when they've gone through all of these horrendous things with their bosses, their culture, you know, to a point where now we're in court. And I'm like, I don't want to see these people here. I want to see these people before this behavior gets started so that people can just come to work, be able to perform, feel valued, feel respected, you know, so they can engage and thrive. And so that's why I go in into organizations and, you know, identify the blind spots in the organization, whether it's people, whether it's processes, systems, so that people can just come to work and just be positive and happy, engaged and thriving.
That's wonderful. One of the big things that we're seeing is a lot of people are deciding, I don't want to work here anymore. I think what most people don't understand is, what is the big dynamic that has changed with the pandemic? And what are the crucial elements that people need to understand, whether they're working there in management, leadership of this new, I hate to say this, but it is a modern workplace nowadays. Mm-hmm. So help us understand that.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the pandemic taught all of us a lot of things, especially employees in the workplace, because essentially, you know, we were on the drop of a dime, pulled from our physical workplaces into our homes and have been there for quite some time. And that, you know, really was an epiphany moment for many people. Many people didn't even realize that they were working in such toxic work environments until they had the opportunity to be absent from them. And they're like, oh, what's this feeling? All of a sudden, my mental health is better. I'm spending more time with my family. I have time now to do some of the things that I enjoy that I forgot that I enjoyed. Maybe I'm cooking more because I don't have my commute anymore. Or maybe I'm pursuing, I have time now to pursue, along with working full time, my entrepreneurship dreams and aspirations that I had. So when employers started calling people back into the workplace late last year, what we saw people saying was, thanks, but no thanks. You know, they have enjoyed that kind of mental clarity that they've had. They've enjoyed the reconnecting with their family, their friends, even if it's over Zoom, right? They're re-enjoying that. And so they are essentially putting their mental health first. For so long, you know, we have been taught, especially in the United States, to be very career driven. And we've put our careers and professions before anything else in our lives. And now we're seeing that kind of reverse. Like, I'm putting myself first. I'm putting my mental health first. I'm putting my family first. And I can still have a career, but it's not going to look like it did pre-pandemic.
It's interesting. I have a niece who was moving up in the tech world. And during when the pandemic hit, she made the shift and she's looking to go back to school. She wants to be a museum curator, which is a big shift. And she's just like, yeah, I don't want that crazy grind that goes along with that anymore. Now, one of the things I think is important, we're talking about that culture and that organizational culture. How does that go about impacting employees? The culture, the structure of a business makes a big difference. Yeah. We've all called that company where they're transferring you to one person, to the next person, to the next person, because they have no real structure and they're just pushing people and pushing people and pushing people.
So, you know, essentially you're right. A lot of organizations never took the time to pause and determine or define, well, what is our culture? What do we need to do so that employees can come, they can stay for a long time, they feel committed, they feel loyal. And what we have seen in the past year or so is organizations finally taking the time to do that, to define what their culture is, define what is an inclusive culture, meaning that everyone can come to work and feel that sense of belonging, sense of value when they get here. What does it mean to develop employees? So what we have reached is just a point of reckoning where organizations are going through that because they just never pause to do that. And like you said, they were turning employees like robots, like, okay, you're dispensable, you're replaceable. And that was kind of that mentality. But what we are in now, which is called the Great Resignation, that means, you know, so many people leaving the workplace. November, record high number of people that left, and we haven't even gotten the numbers for December and January. What that has done has essentially, you know, gotten organizations' attention. We need to pause, right? Because now we've got all of these open positions. So that means we need to hold on to the people that we have. We've got to figure out what are our retention efforts. And then we've got to figure out how to get people to come back to work. How do we rebrand ourselves? You know, how do we reshape our reputation and that culture so that people will come back and they'll stay?
Now we need to talk about the leadership side of things. I've listened to many success coaches just flat out say, there's a lot of people leaving because they have bad leadership. And what can organizations do? Obviously, you don't want to lose star talent, especially at the middle or senior level. But what can organizations do to redevelop those individuals so they could be better leaders, more inspiring, that type of thing?
Well, you just hit the nail on the head because you said we don't want to lose our star talent. And that has been the challenge. It's been, oh, I know I have this leader. They are the jerk at work. You know, they're a bully, they're narcissists, all of these things, but they bring so much value to the organization or so much money or they have these connections and we can't lose them. We'd rather lose these people than to lose this person. So again, what they have to do is redefine, well, what does it mean to be a high performing leader? And they've got to add on to that list of just, you know, profit meeting organizational goals and add on, you know, are they an empathetic leader? Are they a vulnerable leader? What kind of, are they an inclusive leader, right? Because without those elements, I don't know if we can call them a star player. And that's what we've got to sit back and redefine. And what we see is eventually it catches up with you, right? We have seen time after time leaders being marched out of organizations after there's a crisis, after someone has gone to the media or the press and said, this person has created a hostile work environment. This person has sexually harassed me. And what you see in the theme of all those stories is that wasn't new news to the organization. You know, it's, oh, we knew all this time. Jeff Garland, you know, said, I was investigated by HR for 3 times because of my workplace behavior. When that made it to the news and people start sharing their stories, oh, you got to go, right? So what we have to do is not wait for that, right? Let's not wait for that big event, that whole media blast that you've got these big leaders. Let's nip that in the bud. Eventually, right, it will come to get you, you know, it will come back to bite you. You'll have to get rid of that leader anyway. Then you got to go back and do a whole lot of reputation repair, you know, and build trust again with your employees. Why go through all of that? Once you have a leader that is determined that they don't want to be developed. Look, leaders are allowed to make mistakes. We're human, right? Mm-hmm. But it's about once we bring that to your attention, hey, when you said this, when you did this, that was offensive, or there was a different way you could have approached that. A good leader takes that feedback. They, you know, have emotional intelligence and, you know, it really reflect on their behavior and they approach things differently. And those are the types of leaders that we need in organizations.
Now, I take it your organization helps people develop those skills within themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we do, you know, leadership training and executive coaching, you know, so leadership training, we, you know, take the entire leadership team. We, you know, determine what the culture is and we train them of what their behaviors, their actions and their words should be to be reflective of the culture they've identified. And then sometimes you have leaders that either want or need that additional coaching. And so we go in and work with individual leaders as well to help them to gain those competencies that I just talked about.
That's perfect. You know what? We're going to take a break right now. This is great. It's going like that. So I know we have a good interview going. Everybody stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Natasha Bowman, the Workplace Doctor.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I want to thank you for joining us again. We're talking about the ins and outs of money. Hey, all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Spotify, or Google Play channel. And so you never miss a show. You can check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you, solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Now we're back with Natasha Bowman. She's been giving us some pearls of wisdom when it comes to the workplace and redesigning this into a new modern workplace. Now, I want to read this. How to succeed at creating workplaces truly works for mothers. Labor disruption disproportionately burdens working mothers, highlights the vital role to play in the American workplace. So we have a tremendous amount of single mothers, single fathers nowadays. What do we need to do to make it work for everybody?
You know, if we look going back to the Great Resignation, it was determined, or not just the Great Resignation, even the COVID pandemic, the people that left the workplace the most were working mothers that had to leave the workplace. And what that's going to do in the long run is continue to contribute to the wage disparity gap and equities in other places between males and females. So what do we need to do about that? And why do we have to lose working mothers? And essentially, if I look at workplace policies, you know, in regards to flexibility, et cetera, they're just not there yet. You know, if we even look at U.S. law, many people don't know that in the private sector, there's no law that requires employers to give one single day off, meaning you can work 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, you know, and as long as you're paid correctly, that's all we care about in the private sector. I don't know any that do that. You know, they'll give you your holidays. They'll give you a certain amount of vacation. But essentially, when you're taking those days, you often feel guilty for taking it because you've got so much work to come back to. You're being bothered while you're on vacation or off. So again, when we saw the pandemic happen, daycare shut down. And so therefore, working mothers, you know, not only had to get on these Zoom calls, but they have kids running around, right? And so you ask the question, what can we do? And it's really about resources, looking at the resources that we provide to families. And I don't like to say just mothers, even though it was impacted by mothers, but I think families are created in many different ways. But for any parent to have resources, so I know organizations that provided daycare, or if you could have a family member to stay with your child so that you could work, they would reimburse you a certain amount per day for that to happen.
That's great.
Go for the organizations. You know, if I can get my cousin or my aunt to come, hey, I pay $100 a day to come sit with these kids so I can go to work, maybe prepare a meal for them. That's so helpful. And my organization is reimbursing me for that. Those are the types of things you've got to be creative, right? What we have traditionally defined as work-life balance, it just hasn't been the case, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got to redefine what that looks like. We've got to provide way more resources, examine what resources we're providing. I know so many organizations that pay companies and gyms and all these places all this money, and people don't utilize that. It's just this underutilized resource that they've paid a whole bunch of money to. You know, you've got to assess your organization and just ask them. A lot of organizations forget to just ask their employees, what do you need to be successful? Mm-hmm. You know, ask them what resources would be beneficial to them, to retain them, to keep them engaged, and invest in those resources. Stop playing the guessing game. Stop thinking that what worked yesterday is going to work tomorrow. You have to be flexible, agile, and just have employees involved in the process. That'll save you a whole bunch of time and money if you just simply ask and involve.
So what you're really saying is, if we can find out from the employees what takes that family monkey off the back, mm-hmm. they can be tunnel focused on what their work is and be more productive, probably more happier too. Do it in less yep. time with less distraction.
Absolutely. And I've seen it done. I saw many organizations that figured it out during the pandemic. And those were the organizations that were the least impacted by the Great Resignation.
So 86% of our listeners are female, 45 mm-hmm. to 65. Some of them are listening right now and they're going, you know what? I work at a place. How can I push change like yeah. this in my workplace? Do you have any recommendations for that? I mean, you have the perfect background to say something.
You know, employees can be shy. They can run under the assumption that, you know what? I'm not allowed to speak up. I'm not allowed to advocate for myself or for others. And I don't believe that. I have said in the C-suite, and, you know, a lot of times we do want to hear from you all the time. And I know that when I was sitting in that decision-making chair, those were the ideas that helped me. So it's about using, I have a concept, I did a TED talk and I have an upcoming book called The Power of One, Leading with Civility, Candor, and Courage. And when I say leading, I mean using your individual power. I'm not talking about you just having positional leadership, but I believe that everyone in the organization can take a leadership opportunity by saying, hey, go into your organization, right? And saying, look, if you look around, we have a problem. You're losing people left and right, or you have a disengaged workplace. Let me share some ideas, right? Even if you're not impacted, sometimes it's the people that are not impacted that may have the credibility to speak on behalf of others and say, you know what? I'm not a working mom, or I don't have any kids. I wasn't impacted by this. But as I look around, I've noticed some things. And can I just share with you what I think, right? Speaking on behalf of others. If we all collectively take cultures back into our hands and stop waiting on leadership and initiatives and budgets and all these things that we have traditionally waited on to create culture. If just every individual leads with civility, leads with candor, you know, meaning giving that feedback, leads with courage, you know, and it doesn't mean standing up and having a red cape. It just means, you know what, I think I'm going to go knock on this door and say, hey, can I share something with you? And it's just an idea. The worst thing that can happen is they say, thank you for sharing, and they don't do anything. But what if they say, thank you for sharing, you know what, I'm about to run with this, right? You know, you've got to take that chance. That's the only way we're going to see change. We can't wait for organizational leaders, people in political power. I mean, that's done, right? Just, you know, as an individual, think about, well, what is my power one? What is my gift that I can share to cultivate change? And whether that's through effective communication, writing, you know, how can I make change in my organization, you know, and reflecting on that and using that.
That's wonderful. You know what? That message just basically says that, hey, you're just not an employee. You don't get a check and people just don't tell you what to do. You have the opportunity to change your world, make a better workplace. All you have to do is say something.
That's right. Okay? Exactly.
If you don't ask, you don't know. And I think that's a great message that you have there. Now, your book called Power One, when does that come out or has it already come out?
So it's on pre-sale now and it should be coming out in the next couple of months. They're still trying to identify an actual date, but yeah, it's called The Power of One. Leading with Civility, Candor, and Courage is already on Amazon. It's already on the Routledge Publishing website, Barnes & Noble. You can go out and pre-order your copy, and it should be to you in a couple months.
That's wonderful. Now, we're coming to a close here. I would just like you to share how people who are listening can get in contact with your firm if they're looking to get help.
So you can contact my firm, Performance Renew, at performance-renew.com. And if you've enjoyed this conversation and you want to hear more about work, because I talk about work a whole lot all day, every day, you can find me over on LinkedIn, on Natasha Bowman, JD, SPHR. I have a newsletter there. I post a lot. I engage a lot. Let's continue this conversation. You can ask me questions and maybe I can help you to navigate through some of these challenges that we just talked about.
Natasha, I want to thank you for joining us today. This has been wonderful. I love your message because the new world is about leadership. Because way back when I was in that world, it was about doing what somebody told you and suck it up and grind it out and all that stuff. And this pandemic has made a lot of things change, but it's really important that people step up and ask and contribute with their opinion to how to fix things to make them better. The more people that I could help get to where they wanted to go, I was a young executive at like 24 because of stuff like that and the things that you've just said. And I just want to thank you for sharing that. I'm glad somebody else is saying it besides me. With that, again, go to Amazon, Power One. It's performance-renew if you want to get in contact with Natasha Bowman. And Natasha, again, I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you have a wonderful day. Stay safe and stay healthy.
Thank you for having me.
All righty. We'll see you. Bye-bye. Everybody, stick with us. We're going to be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, wasn't Natasha Bowman wonderful? Again, you can go to Amazon if you're looking to get her new book. which is Power of One. If you're looking for the company, go to performance-renew.com. Next, we're going to move into how to protect your money from inflation. If you've noticed, whether you're staying at a hotel, buying gas, getting food, it's all gone up. The reality is you're witnessing results of the latest inflation surge. I like to tell people that gas isn't going to get any better and your money is just going to get worse. While the prices in goods and services over last month have been attributed to the worldwide opening back up, we don't know exactly how long this is going to last. So financially speaking, we need to start thinking about doing a few things. The first thing we want to look at is how do we protect things? Well, you can do that through TIPS, which stands for Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. TIPS are actually quite simple to understand. TIPS are government bonds, things of that nature. They are based off the inflation. And basically what's happening here is when inflation goes up, so does the interest rate. When inflation goes down, so does the interest rate. TIPS can help balance out your fixed income or bond portfolio since they're indexed to inflation. TIPS are backed by the U.S. federal government. They're one of the safest investments for your money and an effective way to diversify your investments while also supplementing your future retirement income. Because the price for TIPS go up and down with the consumer price index, it helps protect against these unexpected spikes in inflation. TIPS certified bar vest the inflation for the average investors. So it's really important you take a look at that. Next, a lot of people don't realize this, but cash has often been overlooked as an inflation hedge. While cash isn't a growth asset, it's usually kept up with inflation and in nominal terms if inflation is accompanied by rising short-term interest rates. With the pandemic, how unpredictable the economy can be, always keep something in high-yield savings, money markets, CDs. You're also going to have too much here because you really just want to look at 6 to 9 months of your income that you need for the household. And you want to look at it in a short-term maturing CD until we have a better understanding of the longer-term inflation outlook. We have some good news here. So let's talk about the best place for a high-yield account, such as Marcus by Goldman Sachs, highest yield for online savings. No fees, it's very accessible, zero conditions, people love it. Best money market accounts, Alibank money market account, 24/7 access, ATM reimbursements, the whole shot. Best CDs. You know what? First of all, you want to consider the length of time to tie up your money. So look at 3 or 6 months. So you can go to BRIO, that's BRIO Direct High Rate CD, or for 6 months, IGO Banking High Yield CD. For 1 year, CFG Community Bank, 3 year, First National Bank of America, 5 year, Alibank High Yield CD. Now, short-term bonds can keep your money in short-term bonds in a similar strategy as maintaining cash in a CD or savings account. Your money stays inaccessible here. If rising inflation leads to higher interest rates, short-term bonds are more resilient, where long-term bonds will suffer losses. This is the reason it's best to stick with short or intermediate term and avoid anything long-term when it comes to bonds. Make sure your bonds or bond funds are short-term since they will be affected less interest rates become to rise quickly. Now, stocks, COX can be a great long-term inflation hedge, but can suffer in the short term. Now, especially if there's an inflation spike, if you're new to the investing world, it's easier than ever to get started. To do so, you'll need to open an account through a brokerage and trading platform. You want to look at all the different brokers for the ones that offer zero commission trading, especially if you're doing it yourself, and make sure you do your research. You know what? If you invest, keep in mind that current inflation issues may be transitory. So be careful not to make dramatic changes in your portfolio that may hurt performance if inflation drops. Also, in a diversified portfolio works whether we have rising inflation or stable inflation. Next, real estate traditionally does well during high inflation as the values of property can increase, which we've seen over the last year. So also means landlords can charge more for the rent, which in turn increases their income so it can pace up with inflation. You can also invest in real estate investments trusts, real estate properties, Delaware statutory trust. You can do things through mutual funds. Just you want to make sure you talk with somebody to make sure it fits for you. Now, gold. Why doesn't gold always protect against rising inflation in the short term? It tends to keep up over the long term. Now, if you take a look at the long term, back in the 70s, gold was as little as $300 an ounce. Now it's a lot higher than that. And you can see it does well over decades, but the fluctuation might not work for you. Commodities. Prices for raw materials like oil, metal, agricultural products usually increase along with inflation, and they're a good hedge against it. But the big but here, you should note that commodities can also be extremely risky. The prices for commodities depend largely on supply and demand, which can be highly unpredictable. This makes them a risky investment on top of investors taking on leverage. The chance of rewards are high, but so are the risk of losses. Don't make dramatic changes based off current inflation or market conditions, since most of us are still long-term investors. But there's things that you can do. Hey, have a great week. Stay safe, stay healthy over there. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.